Good evening, beloved. It is wonderful to have the privilege once again to look at God's Word, study God's Word, and see what God's Word has to say to us. We are still busy with our study on the book of Revelation, and I would like to read Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Before we do that, though, let's just close our eyes in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And thank you that we can get a glimpse of what happens in heaven, or what happened in the past and what will happen in the future and what is happening now. Thank you for using the Apostle John to give us that glimpse. Father, thank you so much. We pray that you will help us to understand what your word has to say. Take it to heart, and at the end of the day, Father, that you may be glorified in and through our lives as we share with others the truths that we learn from your word. So I pray, Father, please, in Jesus' name, help us, please, and enable us to understand, and enable me as your servant to teach your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 to 11 says, "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.'" Beloved, this is one of those passages of Scripture that is so clear that God is the creator. Just look at verse 11 quickly. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord." This is the 24 elders speaking out or crying out or worshiping God. We can say what however we want, but this is worship. And in that worship, they say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." That's why you are worthy to receive all these things, because God created all things, and by God's will, everything exists that were created. So it's important that we need to see this, because this is about worship of the Creator, not creation, the Creator. And so easily we fall into this trap of worshiping creation rather than the Creator. You see, and because God is the Creator, he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to receive all the glory and the honor and the power, for he is the one who created all things. Everything that exists on this earth exists because he is the one who created it. All right? It's so beautiful. But for now, it speaks about these living creatures that gives glory and honor and thanks to the Almighty God who sits on his throne, the triune God that sits on his throne and who lives forever and ever. Because God is eternal. He's eternal in the past, present, and into the future. And then what happens is, as these living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to God, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. So the question is, why do these 24 elders, which, by the way, as I've explained before, they represent all the saints over all the ages, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, saints before the time of Noah even. These are the saints, all the saints throughout all the ages. Now, why do they take the crowns and then cast it before the throne? Now, first thing we need to do is to figure out or find out what is these crowns. What are they? Now, these crowns are the victorious crowns that Jesus placed on their heads. You see, what happens is when you partook of the games, let's say, for example, the Olympic Games, and you would partake in the Olympic Games, and if you were victorious, if you won, you would receive this crown. And this, the crown that you receive, is the victory crown. You were victorious. Where there's another word for crowns as well, and that is the kingly crown. All right? Which means when a king is king and he puts on his crown, that would be the other meaning of the word crown. But in this case, these 24 elders take their victory crowns, the ones that they've received from Christ because they were victorious. Now, think about this, because this is how it works. It's amazing. When the saints come before Christ and they persevered in the faith and they loved their neighbors and they loved God's people and they are regenerated and they've persevered. When they come into the presence of Jesus Christ, what happens is he will give them a victory crown. He gives it to them because they are victorious. All right, so he gives them the victory crown, and then what they do is they take that crown later on and they place it before the feet of Jesus Christ, before the throne of God. Isn't that beautiful? And it's because they know, they realize that the victory that they've won, or the reason why they've been victorious in this life, is not because of their own goodness. It's not because of their own hard work. It's not because of anything that they have done. They've received it as a gift from Christ. You know, it's a gift of salvation. It's a gift of his grace. Right? So that's why they take it off and they place it before the feet of Christ. Actually showing Christ that he is worthy, because he is the one who allowed them to be victorious in this life. All right. You see, we on this earth have done nothing to earn the crown that we're going to receive. These crowns belongs to Jesus Christ, not us. He is the one who won the victory. He is the one who enables us to live the kind of life that is pleasing unto him, because it's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that enables us to live the kind of life that he wants us to live. No? And it is Christ who places the victory crown on our head, or on our heads. And in that sense, we can say to one another, we've got nothing to boast about. You see, the thing is, when it comes to believers, those who are regenerated, we benefit from the victory that Jesus Christ won on our behalf. And therefore, this kneeling of the 24 elders is an act of humility. Okay? They are humbling themselves before the throne of the Almighty God. This is a beautiful act of worship. And then taking off these crowns, and they place it at the feet of Jesus Christ, they are actually showing him that they belong to him because he won the victory on their behalf. Beloved, it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful picture. It's something that we need to really sit down and take a moment to try to picture what has just been shown in heaven when the 24 elders, the saints of all ages, bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, well, the throne in heaven, where Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And this amazing picture of them bowing down before him and taking off their crowns and placing it at the feet of Christ. Oh, what a beautiful act of worship. It must be such an awesome thing to experience that we, as God's people, receives this crown of victory, and we are going to place it before the feet of Christ. Amazing. Now, in verse 11, we see the worthiness of God and why he should be praised, why he should be worshipped. Verse 11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Now, Beloved, in our society, the society that we basically live in, it's very popular to worship the creation rather than the Creator. I mean, we are warned about this over and over again throughout Scripture, not to worship anything in creation. But the problem is that many in society have their priorities all messed up because they actually think too much of their money or jewels or their family or their homes or their cars or the recreation that they enjoy. You know, and these things can actually become a god to us, and very simply, quickly, easily. And there are unfortunately also those who are worshipping the sun and the moon and the stars and rivers and trees and all kinds of things. They are worshipping creation rather than the creator. By the way, sun worship in the Old Testament is nothing other than Baal worship. Right? So whenever the Baal in the Old Testament were worshipped, it was sun worship. All right? They just gave it another name. And then they bowed down before this Baal idol, and they would worship this idol. But it's something that was created by God. Obviously, the sun in itself has authority. Jesus gave the sun, God gave the sun authority. And this authority is to reign over the day, to give light over the day. Likewise, the moon has authority over the night, to shine its light over the night, to reign over the night, and then the stars at night as well. But people, they are capable of worshipping anything. I mean, in India, I think you know this, they worship rats. They've got temples for rats. They've got the animals, the cows that walk around in the streets. If they are declared holy, then nobody is allowed to touch them. There are so many things that people worship. That's besides all the poles and stuff that they make and the statues they make, and they bow down before these things. It's ridiculous to think that people worship the creation rather than the creator and not think for themselves. Listen, but there must be something greater behind this creation. There must be something greater. And then there are obviously those who worship the earth as well. And I believe this whole climate change agenda that we see worldwide is nothing other than earth worship. They're worshiping the earth. It's Gaia worship. But people do it. And they call the earth the mother, né? The mother earth that gave birth to people and to all living creatures. No, scripture tells us that Mary is the mother, yeah, of those who have been created. Not the earth. But that's what Satan does. He turns things upside down. So people worship the earth. And they fight for the earth. Instead of preaching the gospel and accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and how can I say, repent of their sin and turn to Jesus Christ by faith. Beloved, in far too many Christian homes, you will find all kinds of pagan things, things that are, how can I say, idolatrous things, totem poles and Buddha statues and all sorts of horoscope paraphernalia. I remember many years ago when we were still involved in evangelism, we went to a couple in Sushanguve, in just outside of Pretoria. And this guy was an amazing guy, loved the Lord. His wife loved the Lord. And we went into the house. We were busy organizing a campaign that we were going to have in his area and to help him in his church to, you know, to do evangelism. And while we were sitting there, one of the guys that was, we were in a group that was there, and one of the guys saw a Buddha statue, and he said to this pastor that we were with, said to him, listen, do you know what that is? So the pastor said, no, he received it. He did a peace job for someone, and this lady gave him this Buddha statue. Let me just backtrack quickly, because what also happened was that this they had about a one-year-old baby in the house, and that baby would scream, and that baby was extremely sick all the time, from the doctors back home, back to the doctors and home, and then in hospital. That child just couldn't They just couldn't do anything for this child. Anyway, so we started explaining to him and his wife. We started explaining to them what this Buddha statue was and what it represented, a complete false religion. And this man said, this pastor said, listen, no, I want to get rid of this thing. How do we get rid of it? So took him outside, took a wheel spanner, and he hit that Buddha statue and it wouldn't break. And then we prayed, showed him, we prayed with him. And after we prayed with him, and he just said, I don't want anything that is not honoring to God in my home. He took the wheel spanner again and he broke this Buddha statue. There was another one as well in his house. We basically also destroyed that one. And beloved, I'm so ever grateful to the Lord, because within the next weeks or so, I can't remember exactly, but it took a while, a few days or weeks, or it could be 2 or 3 months. The baby, that little baby of 1 year old, was healed. And the reason why this child got sick is because of this open door that was given in the home, in their home. Don't ask me how these things work, but that's the way it worked. And once those things were removed from their home, this child, this baby, was healed. The pastor I worked with in MET had a similar incident where he would gather, because when we reach out, we would have some gomas come to the Lord and they repent of their sin, and then they would burn all their mutis and stuff that they have. And he took a box of different things that Sangomas use, you know, just to help people understand how these things work. And he put it on top of his cupboard in his study. And their youngest daughter, they had 5 children, and the youngest daughter's personality started changing. And they couldn't understand what was happening. Why would this child change so much? And then what happened was, he phoned a pastor that worked with these things in Hinduism and Islam and African religion and that kind of thing. And while he was speaking to him on the phone, this other pastor said to him, listen, do you have anything in your home that is related to the ministry you are in? And then he remembered on the cupboard there was something. And he said, yes, I remember, I've got those things. And he was instructed to destroy those things, to burn it. He took it, burned it, and his daughter's personality changed back to what she used to be. Before that, while she was still under the, how can I say, personality change, she would become aggressive, not just with her tongue, but she would physically become aggressive. This same pastor that was working among the Hindu people and Muslims and African religious people, he told us a story about this statue, this Buddha statue that was plastered into a wall. And whenever the child, the family had a small child, and whenever that child, they would walk past this area where this Buddha statue was, that child would fall back or just jerk back and then just start crying loud. So they got him to come and help them, and he said to them, open up the wall, and they broke open the wall, and there was this little Buddha statue inside the wall. They removed it, destroyed it, and the child, they could walk past that area with the child, and the child didn't do anything. Now, there are people that could say this is coincidence, beloved, but it's not, because there's a reality. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? There's a battle that is going on, and it's a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual war that we are fighting. These things, why would Christians want to have Buddha statues? Why would Christians want to have little statues of the Tokolosh? Now, why would they want those things in their home? It is absolutely mind-boggling that people would want those things in their home, except if they are ignorant of the fact that God is a jealous God. He does not, how can I say, He will not allow us to be busy with idolatry on the one end and the other end to worship Him. God wants us to worship only Him. We cannot serve two masters. We will hate the one and love the other. We will despise the one and we will embrace the other. So it's very important for us to make sure that we don't want things that is not God-honoring. Right now, I must say to you that these things, like the Buddha statues, are directly connected to Buddhism. Yeah? All these things that are connected to Islam, to Islam, and things that are directly connected to Hinduism, for example, it is a direct religious, totem or something, whatever, that people should not allow in their homes. There's no place for these kind of things in our house, in our homes. We want to honor God and God alone. All right. We shouldn't forget that God is a jealous God. All right. He will not allow believers to mess around with false gods. Okay. I mean, how could we ever compare the creator of everything with his creation? And by the way, there's something that we need to understand about creation. There are times that people would say, or maybe you've heard it before, where people say, oh, this creation, this what God has created is so beautiful. God created this amazing planet for us, Earth, that we can dwell on. Beloved, we need to remember that creation has fallen because of the sin of our first parents. In Genesis 1 verse 31 says, and this is after God created on the sixth day. Now he says, then God saw everything that he made, or he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Beloved, it was very good when God created everything, after he created everything. But then sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve fell. And after the fall, nothing was good anymore. Everything was affected by sin. So when we look at creation today, it is a cursed creation. It is not a perfect creation. It's not something that we can look at and say, this resembles the beauty of what God created. It's not true. This is a cursed creation waiting, you know, with birth pains for the revelation of the sons of God. And what sin also does is not only did it affect creation, it also affect us as human beings. We have a sinful nature because of the sins of Adam and Eve. Praise God for the second Adam that came. Because Christ Jesus is known as the second Adam. And as the second Adam, what did Jesus do? Jesus Christ lived the perfect life, which Adam couldn't do. Jesus Christ gave the perfect offering that Adam couldn't do. He gave his own life. He was sinless. He was perfect. And he paid the perfect penalty for our sin. Adam's sin had to be covered up by animal skin. His sin and the sin of Eve. They tried to do it with leaves, but it didn't work. God had to cover their sins with an animal, an innocent animal, dying as a substitute for their sin. But Jesus Christ was the perfect one who died once and for all for the sins of his people, so that you and I can be, live for God the way that he expects us, or the way he wants us to live for him. And beloved, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth. That's what we are waiting for. So we must recognize that God is supreme over everything and everyone in every way. Before the world existed, God spoke and things came into existence. The power of God's word created everything that we know. And I believe it is good for us to understand why God did not just leave, and not bother with all of us anymore. It's because of his grace. It's because God loved the world so much that he didn't just leave Adam and Eve, but that he reached out to them again. He reached out to Israel again and again and again. Beloved, because of his great love, because of his mercy, because of his grace. That's why God turned back to human beings. He could have just destroyed everyone, but he didn't. And it's because of his grace, because of his love, because of his mercy. Oh, beloved, it is so amazing to look at God, the Creator God, and to realize, yes, there was the fall. Yes, people fell into sin. Yes, we are born in sin. Yes, this world is cursed around us, but there's a resemblance of the beauty that of the first creation. Obviously, there's a resemblance of that. And I mean, we can look at certain things and just say, wow, it's so, so beautiful. But beloved, even that is it's just a glimpse of what was. So we can't just, how can I say, worship creation rather than God as the Creator. And especially when it comes to worship, our focus needs to be on Him. And this is what I believe this text tells us so beautifully. When the text tells us in verse 11, he says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Oh, beloved, we need to focus our attention on God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And we know that in creation, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. God the Father spoke the Word, Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Holy Spirit was the one who hovered over the waters at that specific stage, and at the end of the day created this world that we know, this earth that we know. Obviously, and then the fall came, and it was cursed. But doesn't matter what, we need to keep our eyes focused on God as we worship Him. And we can worship Him in spirit and in truth because Christ Jesus made it possible for us to do so. That is the end for tonight. Beloved, it's such a blessing to look at God's Word and to see what God has to say to us, especially when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ, this last book of the 66 books of the Canaan, the Bible. May God enable us to understand so that at the end of the day we can just worship Him truly the way that He expects us to worship Him. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can know you through your word. And Father, thank you so much that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And thank you so much that we can look up to you as the Creator and worship you and not your creation. But thank you, Father, for your creation, that we can look at your creation around us and say, even in this brokenness of this creation, there is a Creator that put all these things together so amazingly. We worship you, we glorify you, we bring you all the praise and the glory and the adoration of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace. God willing, now and forevermore. Thank you for listening. Till next time, God willing, bye-bye.